I am Zeri Santner, and our chair, Julie Livingston, is on holidays, and I am chairing this first item on the agenda. So today is the Design Commission hearing for three items, and today's date is November 21, 2019. I'd like to begin by asking the Bureau of Development Services staff to introduce themselves.
Hillary Adam.
Laura Duvall.
And the commissioners.
Chandra Robinson.
Brian McCarter.
Don Valister.
And I'm Zeri Santner. So I have to read the preamble, and I'm sure you've all heard it before, but it's required that I read it. The members of the commission here today are, which you heard who they were, and Commissioner Jessica Molinar will be joining us later, and Commissioner Rodriguez has conflict of interest and therefore will abstain from the first one. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We're not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and the function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. So today we have a type 3 land use review. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeal. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues preclude an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197-796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instruction will be provided with the notice of commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding areas and present a report which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, and findings and a recommendation on the request. The applicant will present their report. Staff will follow applicant with a 5-minute summary. Public testimonies will be received in favor of 2 minutes or 3 minutes if there are by neighborhood associations. And then after that, public testimonies will be received in opposition to, again, 2 minutes or 3 minutes for neighborhood associations. The applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of the opponents. Public testimony will be closed. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open for 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. After the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. If the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. So we will begin today. The first item on the agenda is LU 19-208247, DZMAD, 1120 Southeast Morrison.
Okay, thank you. I'm Hillary Adam.
Can I ask if any commission members have had ex parte contacts to disclose before we begin?
No.
Sorry. No.
Nor do I. And any conflict of interest?
No.
No.
Nor do I.
Okay.
Sorry.
As Commissioner Santner laid out, I'm going to provide some context, and the applicant, Kurt Schultz, will give his presentation, then I'll go into approvability items, followed by the staff recommendation. This here is a vast aerial view of the site in its context at the edge of the Central City Plan District along Southeast 12th Avenue. The site itself is bound in red. It's also in the Central East Side sub-district of the Central City Plan District. This is not advancing, sorry. There we go. The base zone is EX, Central Employment, with a design overlay. Base zone floor area ratio is 3-1, but they can get up to 6-1 with bonus. They're going for inclusionary housing bonus. Maximum height is 50, but they can go up to 125 feet with bonus. They're within that limit. The approval criteria are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the Special Design Guidelines for the Design Zone of the Central East Side District of the Central City Plan. Also 33825040 modifications that will better meet design review requirements. And 33805040 adjustment approval criteria. I also responded to the Oregon statewide planning goals in the staff report. This is a sort of a view of the site right here in the center. It's bound by Southeast 12th Avenue on the east, Southeast 11th Avenue on the west, Southeast Morrison Street on the north, and Southeast Belmont Street on the south. There are a number of developments within this scale that are going up around the area. Not all of them are captured in this view, but that's its distance to Central City. So just some context images. This is looking south on Southeast 11th Avenue at the Goat Blocks development that opened a couple years ago. This is looking west on Southeast Belmont. That's the Multnomah County Elections Office directly across Southeast 11th Avenue. This is an old view of the Modera Belmont, which is currently under construction. The brick has recently gone up, so it's a dark brick in color. But this This building is seven stories at the corner of Southeast 12th and Belmont. This is looking across Southeast 12th at a residential building. This is looking across Southeast 11th Avenue and Morrison. So this is from the Multnomah County election site. And this is looking west on Southeast Morrison and across Morrison from the building. So the proposed building is mixed use, 247 residential units with over 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail and 175 parking spaces and two loading spaces in two trays of below grade parking. You've seen it before. We had a pre-application conference earlier this year in the spring. The first DAR was May 16th, and the second DAR was July 18th. Tim managed that one for me. I was out of town. You could see the changes from between DAR 1 and DAR 2. The current proposal is very similar to the second DAR. They are asking two modifications. One is for vehicle parking space width, and that is to accommodate structural columns that are about 16 inches wide, so they will project 8 inches into some parking spaces. And bicycle parking space width to reduce the 24-inch width requirement to 18 inches, which is fairly common. They're also requesting an adjustment to allow vehicle access to the parking garage on Southeast 11th. You can see that this site is pretty constrained. It has city bikeways, major emergency response, and city walkways on every street. Southeast Morrison and Southeast Belmont are both major transit priority streets and priority truck streets. And Southeast 11th and 12th Avenues are transit access streets and major truck streets. So 33.510.263.B2.A.3 says that you cannot have vehicle access on a major truck street, which Southeast 11th is. And that's why they're requesting the adjustment. Incidentally, if they were to provide access on any of these streets, an adjustment would be required. I'll turn it over to Kurt.
All right, thank you. I'm Kurt Schultz, the Sarah Architects. It's great to be here today. This is our design review for Modera Morrison at Southeast 12th and Morrison in the Central East Side District. This is for a seven-story market-rate apartment building that is inclusionary housing compliant, which is one of the first ones we've done, so we're excited about that. We've had two design advice requests with all of you, so the project should be relatively familiar. We've got great feedback from both of those, and in our latest package for the DR application, we tried to incorporate all the comments that we received from you at the second design advice request. So for my presentation today, since you've seen the project before, I'm really going to focus just on the changes we made based on your comments last time, and then items that have to do with some of the conditions of approval in Hillary's staff report. As Hillary said, the site is located right on the edge of the Central City Plan District. Southeast 12th Avenue really is a kind of change in district character between the kind of industrial and warehouse and very vibrant district of the Central East Side to much more of the fine-grained, smaller scale of the historic Buckman neighborhood to the east. And there is a guideline in the Central East Side design guidelines that talks about respecting the adjacent residential neighborhoods across 12th Avenue and providing a graceful transition to those neighborhoods themselves, which we've talked about in the past. So at our first design advice request, it was kind of collectively agreed that we would pursue a courtyard orientation in a U-shaped building with the courtyard oriented to the east as a way to begin mitigating that scale to the Buckman neighborhood just to the east of Southeast 12th Avenue. We showed you a couple different courtyard configurations at that time. And then after going into the second DAR, there was some refinements on that massing that we discussed with you. The first was basically taking that same U-shaped diagram with the courtyard facing east, but further breaking down the scale of the ends of the building that are on Southeast 12th Avenue and have them a little bit smaller in scale, a little bit more finer grained in detail, window character, and also have a bit of a height transition down to the scale of the neighborhood on that side, create a break between the two sides of the building, a seam, if you will, and then let the rest of the building, the other two-thirds of the building, reflect the more kind of central east side warehouse and commercial context, which is what we pursued in the second DAR and which we refined today. So last time we talked about, you know, what constitutes the context of some of those larger buildings in the central east side that exhibit that industrial and warehouse character. And these were a few we showed you. This is out of the second DAR. The East Side Exchange, the East Side Commerce Center, and Olympic Mills. These are all concrete or stucco buildings with very large window openings, kind of a larger scale. The Olympic Mills had some stacked openings, which we reflected in the new design. And Julie was actually talking about some of the detail that was in the East Side Exchange that she'd like to see a little bit more detail in our next proposal, which we have done. So I'll describe that when we get to it today. So starting with the site plan, I'll mention again that there's a lot of grade change on this site. So we have 15 feet of grade change from the high corner in the northeast to the low corner in the southwest, more closer to the goat box. So 15 feet of fall diagonally, which basically almost gives us a whole additional story of building height down on this lower corner. So we're still pursuing the east side courtyard facing the Buckman neighborhood. So I'm gonna walk you through the floor plans as they've been just kind of upgraded or modified since the last DAR. So starting with the lowest corner of the site in the southwest on southeast Belmont and 12th is really our number one retail corner. This retail corner is diagonally opposite the main market of choice entry in the goat blocks and all the other retail in the goat blocks itself. We preserve this zone for our largest size and largest opportunities for retail with a very tall ceiling heights here on the corner. The retail spaces as they climb up Belmont actually step with the grade all the way to the upper corner. PBOT would only thought that vehicular access was best mid-block on 11th Avenue. As Hillary explained, all the streets have different liabilities in terms of vehicular access, but they thought this was the best. So that is where our singular garage access is. And all of our loading occurs inside the parking structure. So really what we've been trying to do is minimize the amount of non-active space just to the throat of that vehicular access door on 11th Avenue. We also have a bike lounge right next to that garage entry as well. As we step up the site, so now this is more the plan that matches Morrison and 12th Avenue. You can see that the retail still anchors the corner. This retail, the different floor levels step and match Belmont Street. That retail continues all the way along Belmont, all the way around to 12th Avenue and further around the courtyard itself. We have another retail also area also facing 12th Avenue and facing Morrison, and we have also a smaller, more micro retail space that kind of terminates here on Morrison. So essentially the retail is continuous on all sides and even a little bit further, because these units are actually floating above some of the retail that's down below on 11th Avenue. Because of the grade changes as well, we also have a double-sided lobby. So our main entry lobby is located on Morrison Street and 11th Avenue to be our kind of active glass box area. This lobby is actually going to be very active, full of amenities, a coffee area, a fireplace, and a lounge. So we envision it being a very active space with our main leasing office and then some fitness amenity spaces and a spa a little bit further along Morrison Street. We have some double-sided elevators, so both entries are accessible with a stair leading to our upper lobby, which is where our mail room and parcel room is. And that secondary entry is through the courtyard that is essentially centered on the courtyard facing out to 12th Avenue. So the first, call it 25% or third of the courtyard will be open to the public. And then the rest of the courtyard space will be open during the daytime, but locked off at night with a gate and fence that I'll explain a little bit later. Otherwise, on the quieter side of the building around the courtyard, we have residential units that have individual stoop entries directly from the courtyard itself. As we move up through the building, we've actually added and made some canopy changes that were requested in the second DAR. We've added some larger additional canopies at these two seams in the building, which are both retail entries. And then along, we've also added a canopy centered over our main entry on the courtyard space. We had a multitude of small canopies around these two, what we're calling the residential pavilions last time. And it was requested that we actually only place those canopies over the retail entries because they seemed too static, I suppose, just kind of marching along on every single bay around the building. So we've done that. Every single one of these canopies is now located over a retail entry, and they're a very thin, flat canopy, which I'll show you the detail next time, further in the presentation, based on the comments we received in our last DAR. And moving up through the building, our building carves away on the west side for amenity spaces and a large outdoor terrace that faces the city and the skyline and the Willamette River. And then over the kind of more pavilion-like features on the east side, we actually set our building back, and we had discussions about that last time. All the facades are set back 4 feet to kind of create a transition of scale to the residential neighborhood. We also are complying with the new Central City guidelines of an eco roof. So we do have a full eco roof that we're also using for probably about 95% of our stormwater requirements that will all occur on site. So if there are any taller buildings built around us, they'll also have something nice to look down on. We're keeping all of our mechanical units well away from all the perimeters of the building itself. So moving on to the exterior elevations, it's similar to our DAR. I would say most of the refinements will occur in the details, which I'll show you as we move through the presentation. But really, this is the south elevation on Belmont Street, where there's about 12 feet of fall from 12th to 11th. This entire frontage is all retail. So you can see we've got really tall retail in our primary retail corner in the southwest corner, and then each one of these retail bays steps up with the street. And then we go to a finer grained retail with smaller window openings, more of a boutique kind of a retail opening in this pavilion form that is broken from the larger mass of the kind of the warehouse commercial side of the building, broken by this seam that also flushes out with the penthouse above. So there's a kind of a more of a six-story reading to this elevation with a penthouse to help mitigate the scale toward the Buckman neighborhood. We've added, this is an additional canopy. We've made some revisions to the canopies along the residential pavilions, which I'll show you. Our primary building materials are stucco with metal panels. We have two types of metal panels. We actually have a box rib metal panel that now we're actually proposing those all be perforated, which we didn't talk about in the DAR. That's to allow the PTHP grills and various sidewall vents to be located behind the perforated metal panel. It's a nice clean way to hide the majority of those. And then we also have a standing seam metal panel that is reflected up over the kind of the penthouse area over those pavilions. The west elevation is really all reflective in the more commercial warehouse scale. We have the floating corners on the two corners. The main lobby has kind of a floating element above just to highlight a lot of glazing to activate the lobby, a lot of glazing at our retail entry, and then the double stacked openings that we talked about last time in the DAR, which you preferred over the single punched opening here. We have seams between the two that break into another penthouse expression with a standing seam metal roof at used as a sidewall material up at the top terrace. And then this middle element is all grounded to the ground with further retail spaces on 11th Avenue and then our garage entry point mid-block. The north elevation on Morrison also has about 10 feet of fall. The floating element is where our highly glassy lobby and main entry to the building is. The middle portion of the commercial warehouse zone grounds itself with columns, and these window openings primarily are to either the leasing offices or some of the fitness areas down here. The retail begins at this line at the seam between the two major masses of the building, and we added a canopy also at this location. The east elevation is because of the setback on the roof at the seventh level, there's a material change as well as a dimensional change that helps mitigate that scale down to the Buckman neighborhood. We have painted steel Juliet balconies as well on some of the window openings that are facing east, and then the opening to our courtyard, which is about 45 feet wide, and then the individual more boutique scale window openings to our retail entries with a very thin, very flat canopy that you requested last time. So a couple things I wanted to talk about. One was a condition of approval that Hillary mentioned. So when we first submitted our final drawings to Hillary, we actually have perforated metal panels, which I brought a sample of that we can look at when I'm done with my presentation, that hides all of our PTHP grills and other sidewall vents. But because of code required distances to sidewall vents and the fact that we have stacked window openings where we have a stucco band every two floors, there were still some areas we had to have some very small sidewall vents in the stucco for our kitchens and our bath exhaust. We originally were proposing a small louver that was flush with the stucco, about 10 inches tall by about 18 inches wide, that was a little more obtrusive. And so Hillary suggested that we try to improve that or move a lot of those vents into the perforated panels themselves. What we decided to do is, because of code required distances, we could not move all of those vents into all of our perforated metal panels because of clearance distances, unless we made every single spandrel in these vertical ribbons perforated metal. And we would not be able to have this stacked expression. And proportionally, I don't think that looks very good to just have a series of repeating verticals all the way through the building. So what we decided to do is upgrade our sidewall vents to something that is pretty slick. These are spendy, but they're a lot more attractive. They're just small little round sidewall vents that out of pre-finished aluminum that will be flush with the stucco. They'll be about 5 inches in diameter, and there will always be two side by side. So that's what we're proposing in the set that you're seeing here. It allows a lot more of the stucco wall to be exposed, and these become a lot smaller. They're almost kind of nautical in flavor, but I think they're going to be a lot less obtrusive now being so small. I think the other major change that we made coming from the last design advice request hearing is Julie asked for more detail on the building. So what we've done is we've actually furred out all of our stucco further out from the building, approximately 3 inches from our main building wall, to create deeper shadow lines at all of our stacked and punched openings. And then we've also added some additional stucco trim elements that are approximately 3 inches wide that accent a lot of both our columns and our horizontals at the main kind of commercial side of the building. These also continue on the pilasters that go down to the ground to create a small shadow line that sit on the kind of concrete column bases, of pilaster bases. So what we're trying to do is create a whole secondary layer of shadows and rhythm in the building that didn't exist in our design advice set. We did the same thing on the pavilions, where we've actually created stucco frames, kind of a thin stucco trim frame around all of our punched window openings, plus furred out the stucco further to create deeper shadows and a more recessed window. We've gone to a much thinner canopy also at these more boutique two-story type window openings as you requested last time. And then we do have occasionally some places where we have to have those small little round sidewall vents that are in the stucco. So the thing we didn't talk about last time is the metal panels that we have in our spandrels will be perforated. They have to be perforated to be to about 50% open. So we have to build those out of about 18 gauge metal to allow that to happen. But what that does is it allows us to hide both our PTHP grills, which are never attractive, behind the perf panel, and any other sidewall vents in the unit below it can also be hidden behind that perforated metal panel. This detail shows you how far we're furring out the stucco, an additional probably about 3.5 inches from the wall to the window to create a deeper shadow line. And then we've also added at both jams and heads details some additional stuccoed trim that allows us to get an even deeper shadow line around all those openings to create more three-dimensional play. This is actually a picture that we have under construction right now that has those perforated panels in the 50% open area. It just allows us to have a much cleaner spandrel and not be so cluttered with all the stuff that you usually see in there. And so we like that detail a lot. The canopies, particularly the canopies on the east side, have become very thin. They're only 4 inches tall. They are flat, not angled like an awning like we showed last time as you requested. So they're really just a steel plate with a little drip edge projecting about 6 feet from the property line at all those retail openings. The other conditions of approval Hillary mentioned had to do with both exposing some stormwater treatment and art integrated into the building, which are both Central City guidelines. This is our courtyard, where the first third of the courtyard is open to the public, where the retail will be able to spill out. This is where our security fence will be, that will be open during the day but closed at night. From that point on, we have a much more meandering kind of path, a more organic design to our courtyard leading to our secondary front entry that allows each one of these residential units to have an individual stoop entry off the courtyard. This fence we're proposing to be a artist design feature. And then this is where the stormwater planter is located. We are not, even despite the size of our eco roof, we still need a little bit of stormwater treatment in our courtyard. So we're planning on taking that down here on this corner that is adjacent to the public part of the courtyard through a steel runnel that will discharge and be actually an exposed feature into the stormwater. So this is a view of inside the courtyard with a kind of a wood seating area. This is our stormwater planter with a runnel and water discharge. Almost done. And then on the other side, this is our privacy security fence that we're planning to be artist designed. I'm reaching out to Ivan McLean, and he's expressed a potential interest in designing this for us. Mill Creek has set aside an art budget for that. So we're basically the entire height and width of that fence will be designed by and executed by an artist as part of our proposal, and also to meet the Central City Design Guideline. We met the requirements that Hillary was asking for by adding some additional light fixtures both to the north and to the west sconces, and then we added some recessed light fixtures over our main, some of our entries to our residential units. And that leads us to our final proposal of the actual renderings of the design. It's hard to see on the screen, at least for me, about some of the added detail and the extra dimension you get with the depth and the shadows that we'll get on the facades, but we think that'll be really successful. And again, it's a very limited palette of metal and stucco and a little bit of exposed concrete. All the metal will be in a kind of a deep charcoal gray color. The stucco is not going to be white. I've actually got a sample of it. It's kind of an ivory, kind of a very, very light gray ivory color that we've used before that we like a lot and we think will be highly successful. Here you can see some of the additional stucco frames we've done around the punched window openings. And that leads us, I guess, to the end of my presentation, finishing back on our primary retail corner next to the goat box. So sorry I went over. Appreciate your time and look forward to your comments.
Thank you, Kurt. Any questions?
Were there other changes that you made to this design post DAR number 2?
Besides what I, there was a lot of minor ones, and they all came, had to do with minor comments, like we dropped the canopy that everyone thought felt too high on the primary retail corner, which we've done. We've kept, and these canopies continue to step up the, kind of step with the retail entries along the grade. I would say most of it is more refinements in the skin, creating depth to the skin, trying to figure out, you know, hiding our PTHP grills and so on. But I'd say the primary moves have stayed the same, Don.
Do you have a detail of how you're proposing to do those little edges?
Yeah. So essentially what we're doing on the stucco is we're building our stud wall everywhere. And then with hat clips, we're actually furring out to, and these are 3-inch furring strips to the actual stucco itself, which gives the first portion of depth. And then we're actually using some high density insulation that we're stuccoing over to create those edges just both horizontal and vertically around some of the window frames to create an even additional shadow line. And that will all be stucco as well.
And is this a 3-coat system, 2-coat system, or?
It's basically a 2-coat system. So basically what we do is we fur out to.
It's not a drive-it system.
No drive-it. No. We fur out to a like a half-inch thick cement board wonder board, and then they do a 2-coat stucco system over the top of that. There's no EIFS or anything like that in the proposal. What we're doing is manipulating where the stucco goes, because typically stucco is just put right on the edge of the stud frame, but that becomes too flush with the window, so we wanted to push that out further, if that makes sense.
Is C41, this Humber Design Group, it looks like a civil plan to me. Is that also the streetscape landscape plan?
Yes, it is.
I don't know if I saw anything about street tree species. Is that just something you've worked out with forestry?
Eric, do you want to come and? Can I bring up our Aaron, our landscape architect, and tell you about the species really quick?
So. Okay, Aaron West, Shapiro Didway, 1204 Southeast Water Avenue. So on Southeast 12, we have Eddie's White Wonder, Dogwood. And then on Southeast Morrison, we have an Emerald Sunshine Elm. Along 11th, we have Ginkgo. Sargent Ginkgo. And then along Belmont, we have a forest green oak. So along each street, we have a whole separate species for its individual character along each road.
I can't recall over in this part of the world, are these 12-foot sidewalks or 15-foot sidewalks?
12.
They are 12, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, not a problem.
I have one question. Kurt, these sidewall vents, the round ones, so are these kind of vents that could sort of create these gray, black sort of halo around them, given that this is a white stucco? I mean, would there be some residues from these vents that could be obvious?
No,
No, because we're not doing any dryer vents, and that's where you get the... Oh, sorry. We're not doing dryer vents, which have the stuff in them. We're doing condensing dryers, so we're not venting our dryers. They're just the kitchen and the bath exhaust that don't have any stuff in them, and so that we shouldn't have any discoloration.
Any discoloration.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to where if it's like a dryer with lint, you can tend to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Any other questions before I jump in? Okay. So on to discussion topics. As you saw, I listed some conditions of approval, and I'll just go through those. I added a condition D that the applicant should provide details on the art and stormwater.
On what?
Art and stormwater features to respond to guidelines A54 and A55, respectively. When I first received the packet, there was no information, and so that's what the staff report reflected. And then the packet that you got showed this introduction of art. What Kurt has shown today is more expansive, so... this is a condition that could be added, deleted, or if you want to, if say you wanted to approve the proposal, you could accept the new drawings with the packet and revise a condition to strengthen it, to ensure that that fence would be artist design and continue across the whole frontage there. Issue two, integrate exterior lighting. This is guideline C2. I added a condition that sconce light fixtures should be added. I believe Kurt responded to this. There are now sconces shown on Southeast 11th and Southeast Morrison. And he indicated to me that they could incorporate downlights into the courtyard entries. So I believe this condition is met. So it could also be deleted if you agreed. Condition F, all louver vents shall be integrated behind the perforated box rib metal panel or within the fenestration pattern. Kurt responded to this. I don't have any comments right now about changing or deleting this. I leave it to your judgment. Again, this is just another drawing showing the revised vents. Condition G, the flat pan standing seam metal panel shall have a minimum gauge of 20 or B22 gauge and pencil rib with the ribs at 6 inches on center. Previously, Kurt has indicated to me that they are fine with the flat pan standing seam at 20 gauge. So potentially the second part of that condition could be deleted if you agree. So these are my conditions, recommending approval with the standard conditions A, B, and C. As I noted, condition D could be deleted or revised to address the new drawings that you saw today. Condition E could be deleted. Condition F, I believe, is up for discussion. G could be revised to remove that second part that talks about 22 gauge. And then in the staff report, I noted that Urban Forestry had not yet commented. I did get their comments, and they have asked me to include condition H that addresses preservation of this tree, this lovely tree in the lower right corner, but that if it can't be preserved, then Urban Forestry has to approve that before the public works permit is issued.
I can show you where that is in a plan if you want, if you're interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your options today are to support the staff recommendation with revised, added, or deleted conditions, reject the staff recommendation and request that the applicant return with revisions, or reject the staff recommendation and request staff to return with a recommendation of denial. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. Hillary, can you remind me where those flat panels are that you were pointing out in the condition?
Yeah. It's basically everything here in the dark gray that isn't a spandrel below the windows.
Okay.
Then those are all standing seam, are they?
Right.
Right. Yeah, we're proposing 20 gauge for the standing seam And 18 gauge actually for the more box rib at the spandrels.
Is that your sample?
Yeah.
So basically the last part, or 20 gauge but pre-penciled rib, should be deleted. That's what you're
correct.
Suggesting.
Okay. And I would recommend leaving the condition in there because we don't have, I don't believe that the cut sheet showing that says that it's 20 gauge.
Okay. And then in terms of modifications.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't go through those specifically, but I am recommending approval of both modifications and the adjustment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, do we have testimonies? No testimonies. Wow. Excellent. Very well. Okay, now the commission would deliberate, and
should we look at the samples?
Yes, please. Let's do that.
And I can show you where the horn beam is quickly before.
This sample is not. That's how we actually have to build it because it's too flimsy if you don't do it. So this is actually a white sample, not the color. This is the color all of our metal is going to be. But essentially what we do is it has to be 50% open in order to meet the requirements of the MANA. So we paint it, we'll paint it the color that it is. We do a black WRB that's UV resistant behind it, and we make sure everything is painted black. You know, the PTHPs, all vents, all the junks. And we think it turns out nicely because it really, all the stuff behind it goes away. And even from a distance, especially with the black backing behind it and the dark color, you don't even, see that they're perforating. Right?
So this is not 20 gauge?
No, this will be built at 18.
I see.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, just to be stiff
that's
enough.
That's probably a 24 gauge.
Yeah, just to make the sample. And then this will be our 20 gauge standing seam metal wall panel in this color. All you know, canopies, the all metal will be in this. This will be this color as well. And then this is kind of our ivory color with the finish that we're planning for the stucco for contrast with the charcoal.
What about the texture of that stuff? Does it tend with the texture get real dirty in our climate?
No, you got to be careful on the texture because if it's too smooth, it telegraphs all the mistakes in the wall framing, and you can actually see. But if you make it too textured, it will get moss and mildew and gunk. So this is actually closer to a smoother texture that still has enough sand paper in it that it doesn't seem to hold.
So I'm kind of getting real dirty fast.
We've had good success with this texture before, and so. We've tried everything else, and we like this one the best for just longevity.
And how often do they need to be painted?
They don't paint it. The color is integral, so it will be never painted. You just hose it off and wash it. Just
I see. Hose it off.
Yeah.
What about the reflectance of the glass? Where are you at on that one?
Oh, you mean in the bird safe glazing?
All of it?
Oh, first we actually, since we're under 30% opening, we're not triggering the bird safe glazing standard. So we're under that, but we're just doing a standard, you know, low-E coating on our glass. We're not doing anything reflective. No.
Solar band 60.
Yeah.
So pretty low.
Stuff you always use. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just it meets energy code. Works out well, but doesn't have any. I can't stand the reflectivity in this glass. So
outside, rain will hit this stuff and just fall through the louvers.
It does. Yeah.
It's presumably
actually not that much different than even a regular louver. Rain can get driven behind it anyway, and then the waterproofing membrane's behind the panel, and it just drips off and then weeps out at the bottom.
Small enough openings that little things don't gather and catch in the lower side.
Okay. Yeah. Most bugs won't go in there. There's maybe a few that do, but since you're hosing off the building once in a while, we've had good luck with it. And we think it's a lot more attractive than a PTHP grill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wondered about, when you have a horizontal built up on here, is that going to intercept the water flowing off and then be a deposit of soil on top of?
You've got those chamfer, don't you?
Yeah, they're definitely have a pretty steep chamfer on it, and we usually flash the top of them as well so they don't get goo on the top.
Yeah, because it's a natural place for a bunch of dark sediment.
Yeah, that's why we flash it.
Yeah, city dust.
So what, there's so much.
Oh yeah.
Particularly on a truck.
Especially the truck exhaust.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me show you the horn beam. You can switch computers.
Oops. So the existing 16-inch horn beam that Urban Forestry is talking about is right here. It's essentially dead center right on the pavilion that faces 12th Avenue, so about right where you see my cursor. And so Urban Forestry and PBOT are having a back and forth over whether Urban Forestry would like to save it. PBOT's not sure it can live. They've asked us to, they've ordered a couple different arborists to provide reports. I don't know who's going to win. That's all I can say. It'd be great to have it, but whether it can actually survive is up to the arborist.
You'll end up with shoring walls.
We do.
Right along.
And that's been our concern, and we've given all that information to the arborist and to the city and PBOT. So we've got shoring, and then we've got kind of a constructability distance as well. So we will be cutting deeply into the side of the horn beam on the west side of it. And there's an arborist report that doesn't think it's going to make it, but the urban forester hasn't decided. So
is it possible that you do your best to save it, and then if after a couple of years it dies, that would be replaced with one of the...
That could be something that they work out, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Once you get into the right-of-way, it all becomes the realm of the other bureaus, so they're arguing it out.
It seems like it could potentially survive the excavation, but I don't know if it could survive 2 years of all the trades working right around it. Mm-hmm. That'd be, I don't know.
But that's up to city forester.
It is,
yes.
Okay.
So he'll make the call.
Great. So any other questions before we close the records? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to close the record?
Well, maybe take a quick look at this plant at the plaza. No, right at the entry area, is that, do you think this is going to be for maybe restaurant use or something?
Yes, that's the idea.
Spill into that?
That is the idea, yes.
And if there is no restaurant, would it be bike parking, temporary short-term bike parking or something like
Oops.
That?
We do have a little bit of short-term bike parking, but essentially what we're anticipating is that there's going to be retail or food service uses on both of the retails on either side. We wanted to preserve all this for being open to the public 24/7. There's entries and canopies that face both south and north from the retail. And then we've divided the plaza into almost two levels. So each retailer, restaurant can sort of have their own kind of space defined. That's why there's a ramp and a couple steps between the two. But that is the idea, Don.
Is that steps up or step down to the north?
You enter at grade here. You actually step down two steps to this one, and then the ramp goes down slightly. This comes and hits exactly at grade, and then you meander back to the secondary main entry to the building right here.
Okay. And are there benches in here?
There's a lot of built-in benches in there, yes. So all these kind of wood-top benches, there's benches built in here, all along here, and along the back.
Okay.
And then number three over there in the upper or lower plaza is bench as well, isn't it?
That's correct.
So in terms of people coming out into their own patios, this one at the end will have the ability to go out the exit gate, but these you won't enter from the courtyard into those.
Right. All these units here actually have their only entrances off the courtyard. So they are essentially exterior accessed, which actually can be very successful units. You know, there's a degree of privacy that, and a lot of renters really like that. Conversely, the other side of these units are actually connected to an internal circulation. And so they have more private patios, with the exception of this one that does have access to the courtyard. Just giving some variety to the unit types.
So the access will be up these little walkways?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then all the way over here?
You got it.
And they'll be useful patios also, in addition to an entry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are all, roughly 10 by 10 patios in front of every unit. So you can have a table and chair and hang out.
Any other questions or clarifications?
Not for me.
No. No.
Okay. Do you? No. Okay. Do we close the record? Commissioners, we're going to start by going through context and then public realm and quality and permanence. And shall we start from Chandra's end?
Sure. Related to context, I think the project's doing a good job of responding differently on both sides, where we're in the facing the Buckman neighborhood and stepping down a little bit at the top, and then adding that layer of balconies in there. I think adding this additional layer of finer grain detail, the stucco detail that they've introduced this time, which we didn't see at the previous DARs, I think that's a good move to sort of add a little bit more interest to the building. And I remember Julie saying that she really did want it to reflect a little bit better the Central East Side character, which are the warehouse buildings that have very subtle detailing in it. And I think that this move really does respond to that comment that she made and adds a little bit of a level of interest to it. I do also appreciate seeing the change in the canopies from before. They were heavier. They're a little bit lighter this time, and I think that's appropriate for the neighborhood. And the fact that there are fewer of them on the more residential Buffman side than there are on the busier retail sides. I think that's really helpful. I think it's responding well.
Great.
Fine. Context comments?
Thinking about Hillary's summary, I'm pretty much in agreement with everything in her staff report. I think the applicant's doing a great job of finding a sweet spot between kind of industrial context and then residential context. You know, when I looked back over the very first DAR and the second DAR and the way the building architecture evolved, I think it's working very, very well now. The big moves of breaking up the massing into kind of three major masses on the 200-foot elevations is working really good. The ground floor retail height is excellent. And I like the fact that it's stepping its way up the street, and the bottom sill line of the glass just steps up incrementally, very gently, with the grade, with individual entrances. The canopies gently climb their way up the hill. It's nice when architecture responds to topography, and I think they're doing that really well. I think we got a sneak peek of the possibility of the fence in the rendering, not in our package, but in the rendering today, and that looked very promising. If they're able to work with an artist and really make, I mean, right, the thing that's in our drawing package is just a placeholder, just something plunked on there. But I thought what we were seeing in the presentation looked really promising. So I'm confident that can work out.
Excellent. Don?
Well, at one point we tried to twist Kurt's arm to do something a little more radical, but he adroitly sidestepped that one. I would have liked it to be a little less traditional on the west side and maybe more industrial. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the scale is pretty nice, and the little deck area on top is going to be very satisfying to the tenants, I believe. And I think the attempts to break down the massing is good. You could have gone a little further, but I think it was it's going in that right direction, because Portland is a community of smaller buildings traditionally rather than these big ones, and I would like to see more of that tradition put into some of these large projects. The canopies, I think the southwest corner is a pretty satisfying, always was a really nice retail space, and it has continued to be so. And I think some of the ones up on 12th are going to work pretty well too for the retail community, and just a nice pedestrian scale. Although 12th is not particularly a pedestrian street at this point, maybe it'll become more so. And the courtyard, I think, I can't tell if those are big potted plants in there, or if they're soiled, or what's quite going on.
No, I think it's a mass planting of, it's a raised bed.
Okay,
the whole
good.
Thing is a raised
and
bed.
And that should be a pleasant entry off of 12th. And again, the spots 1 and 2 can kind of evolve, and who knows, depending on the tenants on either side, it could become more bike parking or more open space or tables, et cetera. So it's got potential to move. And the beginnings of the fence design look pretty good. So good with it.
Great. I agree with everything that everybody said, and I appreciate that the applicant had responded to some of our suggestions before. From the beginning, I just liked the concept of breaking up the mass and responding to the neighborhood side, 12th Street side, more in accordance with the context of residential character versus on the west side. And I often, when I see a building 200 by 200, I very often, unfortunately, see the massing that is very overwhelming. I think this project has done a good job, especially on Morrison and Belmont and 12th Street, to break up the massing with a little bit of detailing, with a little bit of change in plane to make it more human scale. And I think the most successful part of the contextual relationship is on the east side, how it responds to the neighborhood, both in terms of top, pushing back the penthouses and choosing different material and bringing the scale of the building down, at least its perception. And then the courtyard, I think both the public and the private courtyards is being very successfully done. So I agree with everything that it was said. So next is public realm. Don, do you want to start with the public realm?
Yeah, I think the public realm is probably where they've done some of the best work. I mean, particularly that southwest corner, and then the stepping up of the awnings as it goes up, and then the small scale along 12th Street works very well. It should be a good pedestrian experience. I think 11th, as stated, is the truck route, so that was the appropriate place to put the entry to the parking garage, which it is. I wouldn't suspect there's going to be a lot of pedestrian activity on 11th, and then Morrison also with the main entry seems to have a pretty nice scale and is pretty pedestrian friendly. And of course 12th with the main entry and the plaza is very pedestrian friendly, so I think it does a good job with the public realm.
Brian?
Yes, I would concur with Don. It's decidedly an urban presentation around all four frontages, and I agree, just kind of looking at the renderings, you know, out of 800 feet of total frontage, the garage is a very minor event, which is really nice. It's minimal interruption, and I think when you think about the neighborhood right around it, both what's there and what's coming and what's recent, it's gonna fit in very, very nicely. And I'm really happy about the extent of canopies. The canopies seem to be in the right places, particularly if you think of people coming out of the building, going to transit stops and things like that. It seems like it's working really well. So I think I'm pretty much on board with everything that Hillary had in her summary here. And I'm particularly glad to see the courtyard have that one third of it be actually open to the public. You know, if there was a fence right at the back of sidewalk, that would not feel nearly like it was contributing something to the neighborhood. And so I think it's really great that that first third is available and open. So I think it's really working quite well.
Thank you, Chandra.
I agree as well. They've done a really good job activating the ground floor, so it's going to be very lively and feel very safe, and there'll be eyes on the street. There's a lot of great canopies. There's a lot of great weather protection. The courtyard seems like it's going to be a wonderful place for people to pop into. I agree. They've done a very good job on public realm response.
Where does... we already passed it. C11 was in context, and Hillary had a comment about the garage, louver vents, but it sounded like that got resolved to your satisfaction, Hillary.
Well, I had asked Kurt to look into that, because at the DAR, the last DAR, actually, you had it showed glazing above the garage opening. But then the mechanical engineer said that they needed more airflow.
Right.
And so that's why they put the louver fence over there. So I had asked him to show something that maybe had a perf door and reintroduce that glazing. I didn't see that today, so I don't know what the status of that is. You could open the record and ask him to address that and then close it again, but...
I'm pretty happy with the way it looks in the rendering with the louvered look. I think it's I'm not seeing a big gaping thing there by not having the window band go across. As I think you said in there, it'd be windows into the upper part of the garage
they'd
or
be
something like that.
Obscured. So
yeah. So I think he's solved it the right way. So I'll drop that.
I agree completely with Don's statement that the strength of this project is in public realm. The extent of retail, the glazing, the canopies, and responsiveness, and holding all four corners very, very, very strongly. And the variety, and in terms of retail, there are a variety of... options, and it could be flexible in the future and change. So my only hope is that tree can be preserved if it's possible, but that's obviously not our call. It has something that has to be worked out. So I totally agree with staff's report on the public realm. Okay, last but not least, permanence and quality, Chandra.
I think the materials are quality materials. They're proven to be lasting. Metal panel and stucco are nice. Yes, we've had some concerns before about the light color, but I think that's related to maintenance, to the operations. It's something that just has to be taken care of to make sure that it doesn't get mossy or dirty with exhaust. It's just something that the property managers, the owners, are going to have to look at. But I think that it's nice. I think if you're using white windows, your building's got to be white. Otherwise, it looks really strange. So I think this is appropriate, which we've seen in other projects. And so I do think quality and permanence is a good response.
So how do you feel about, both of you, about the vents? Because that was part of the concern that Hillary had about the vents being in the stucco area. Does it affect in terms of coherency of the building?
I mean, there aren't other things that are round, but I think that making them round and making them white so they're the same color of the stucco, they actually disappear a little bit more if you have an additional rectangle.
Right, right.
It's like the same language as the building. You can tell that that's not important if it's just a little round circle. You sort of recognize what
floats
it is.
In the field.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think that it takes away from the overall design coherence.
Okay. Great.
I agree with Chandra. I think It's really strong. It's simple. How many times do we find ourselves fighting five materials, and this is really calmed down? And I like the way the monochromatic, you know, light to dark, the way Kurt's playing with the planes pulled forward from the planes pushed back, and, you know, just the simple color change there. It's like the color is really helping boost the wall plane change, and it just helps the thing read more in like 1/3 block increments. And I think that's working really well. And when you get around to 12th, where it steps back and stays step back as it wraps around facing the neighborhood, is really good. I always liked, even from DAR2, I liked the way this bay pulled forward kind of floats above that high retail. I think that's really nice. You get the effect of clear story windows up above the awning that really help make the volume feel really public, and I think that works really well. And I think he's done a great job of resolving all the mechanical stuff in those spandrels, and it's just real simple. And black painted balcony structures, so I think it's very coherent as you wrap around all four sides of it.
Great, Don.
Yeah, I think the materials certainly meet the permanence standard. I would have white stuck always gives me a little pause in this climate, and it has to be maintained, probably pressure washed at least once every 5 years, or it starts to get dirty. It's just the way it is. We just get so much rain. putting the little round exhaust fans, I think, would have been preferable had they been able to fit into the black areas, and probably there's some ability to put some of those on sidewalls next to the decks, I believe. I don't think there's an issue with that. Kurt may know, but might be able to get rid of a few of them.
We're closed.
I don't. Okay. Might be able to get rid of a few of them. But I think the lack of materials and the way they're handled shows a lot of restraint, and I think that's highly desirable in most of this building and in most of the presentations we have. Keep it simple, do a good job of detailing.
Once again, I agree. I think in terms of quality and simplicity of materials, the application is really meeting all the guidelines. I think for me what stands out is the coherency of the building in light of some of the changes in terms of the massing and the facades, pushing it in or out, has made it very, very coherent. So, and I'm in agreement with the rest of the commissioners in terms of the change in the design of the vents. They sort of make it disappear and doesn't detract from the coherency and strength of the horizontal line. So I'm okay with that. So now we get into modifications and then adjustment. Well, first of all, let's start with the adjustment. The adjustment is vehicle access on Southeast 11th, which is a major truck street. And as Hillary mentioned, this is something that PBOT has jurisdictions, and they've decided that makes sense. And regardless, all the four streets would have had the same issues. They would have had to make adjustments. And in fact, the choice of this street is actually better since it's a truck route. So anybody has problem with the adjustment?
No.
Request?
No, it's the right solution.
Okay, great. So now we get to modifications. The first three are the normal, usual conditions. The third one is the proposed art fence as well as exposed stormwater. I heard some of you mentioning that what the applicant presented today, at least in the spirit, meets the guidelines. Do you have any differences of opinion on that, or do you want us to specify the condition that the fence needs to be designed by an artist and be very specific, have a sentence about that? Is that something we want to do? Or do we want to...
to lock it in?
Totally delete...
What was Hillary's language on that?
My language won't exactly help you because it was used to get them to bring you something. So my condition D should basically be deleted. And if you want to require them to have an artist designed fence, the condition can be rewritten to say that something like the full extent of the eastern fence shall be designed by an artist.
Would that be condition E?
No, it would be the same.
Pardon me?
Condition D.
D. It would replace the current condition D.
Okay.
So do we agree to eliminate the existing condition D?
Yes.
Yes.
They did provide additional.
Okay. And should we replace it with the condition that the applicant should provide, should ensure that the fence on the east side dividing the two, the public and private courtyards, be designed by an artist?
I'd like to see that.
I could support that.
I mean, I would absolutely support it. I mean, when we look at the difference between the two, the one that was in our package, right, that has like little paintings on it, like, we wouldn't want that. And instead, we would say like it has to be full panels, it has to be a minimum of this size or that size. So, I mean, I think that they could still decide what they want to do, but but what they showed today in their actual presentation was very beautiful, and it seemed like it was very artistic and would absolutely meet those guidelines. Yeah.
But we don't know if it's going to be exactly that.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Right.
But we could say to the extent shown in the drawing presented on November 21st, because this will be stamped.
Right.
And then it can be used as a reference. Like this has to, the design has to extend this amount.
Yeah.
Okay. So condition D should state what? The east fence shall be designed.
The east courtyard fence shall be designed with.
By an artist.
Yeah, by an artist, maybe consistent
artist.
With the proposed.
In collaboration with the architect and fabricator, something like that.
And consistent with the presentation they gave.
Yeah, and what was your words, Hillary, again? It was
shall extend as presented on November 21st.
To the extent as presented.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
The hearing, something like that.
Do you want to read that to us, Hillary, so that both us and the applicant is clear what we're saying?
I hate using the same word in the same sentence twice, but the east courtyard fence shall be designed by an artist in collaboration with the architect and extend...
To the extent that was shown.
To the extent that was shown on November 21st.
On November 21st presentation.
Okay.
Okay? Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Great. condition E were sconces, light fixture, which has been taken care of. So staff, Hillary, today suggested we delete that. Everybody's in agreement with that?
Yes.
Deleting... condition E. Condition F, also, they've responded to the louver vents. Mm-hmm. Shall we delete that?
Yeah.
Condition F?
Yeah.
Yes.
Strike that also.
Okay. And then condition G, we need to modify it to basically say flat panels, standing seam metal panels.
Shall have a minimum gauge
shall
of 20 gauge.
Shall be minimum of 20 gauge.
20 gauge.
Okay?
Period.
And
yep.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent.
Agree.
And then finally, condition H, tree preservation on southeast corner. That's something that needs to be worked out between forestry and PIBA.
Yeah.
Does the language, it looks like the language works that's shown
yes,
there.
The language works.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can keep that one.
We can keep that language.
Yeah.
Okay. So did we cover everything, Hillary?
Yes.
We're all done? Okay.
I believe so. The motion has to be officially made, though, and voted on.
Yes. Yeah. No. I just wanted to make sure that we covered all of our bases.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody wants to make a motion to approve, and with the conditions, modified conditions.
I move that we adopt the staff report with the modified conditions. Does that say enough?
They're on the record. So I, yes.
Okay.
I second.
Yeah. Do we need to indicate that we struck an E and F requirements or Hillary?
We've already done that, no?
Is that already in there?
You said it on the record.
Mm-hmm. Well, that takes care of it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Accepting the staff report with the modified conditions as you guys have discussed. Yes.
Commissioner Ballister?
Yes.
Commissioner McCarter?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes.
Commissioner Santner?
Yes, and I want to thank the applicant, the developer, the architects to really work with us and made this, I mean, started with good bones, but it has improved greatly and would be a great asset to the neighborhood, and we appreciate working with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.